The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is finally Friday, March 6th. It's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for today. We're continuing our discussion, and I was enjoying the discussion. So I was going to say, hopefully it's the conclusion of it. But if it could extend, let it extend, because I'm excited with the conversation we've been having with culturalist Miss Diane Hamilton. Today, we're going to continue the discussion about her concept, the United Islands of the Bahamas. I'm going to slow it down because I need some callers to call in and give commentary on what you think about this idea. Moving it from the Bahama Islands, the Family Islands, the Islands of the Bahamas to the United Islands of the Bahamas. See, in order for the United Islands of the Bahamas to work, we need to decentralize the power from New Providence. That means Nassau ain't have the power no more. The host assembly won't be the only answerable place to dictate to the rest of the family islands. That means the power must be shifted and shared. I'm not really like that idea. This is why I brought Miss Hamilton back, because she needs to convince me on what is it that she's trying to say. See, all islands are not created equally. Some islands fast pace and have commerce and business. Islands like Exuma, Eleuthera, Bimini, Abaco, they could survive on their own. They could have a thriving local government that does not have to get instructions or help from New Providence. But Auckland. Oh, you see Andrus. We was talking about Andrus last week. You see, they saying they need the Mennonites' help. If the Mennonites close their doors, the whole island collapse. I still vex with that. Every time I think about it, I get vexed, right? I'm thinking about Ragged Island, Mayaguano, right? Inagua. Even though Inagua have that Martin Salt, even that San Salvador have that hotel there, when the hotel closed down, the whole island becomes dormant. So when you talk about the United Islands of the Bahamas, and knowing that these islands are going to be by themselves, they're going to have to lobby and find investors by themselves. They got to lobby and manage with their exceptional skills by themselves. I'm not sure if some of these family islands have the technology, the technocrats to survive on their own. I guess they would have to seek out labor. And that means if they seek out labor, a labor outside of New Providence, outside of Nassau, the population may change, and I'm not sure if I like the idea of foreign people helping our family islands thrive, and I do not have a say on the culture. We have so much mix up people now, right? Mix up people now on these family islands dictating to us. Dictating to our government on how they see the island. Abaco, we always round with Abaco. But South Abaco, that's a different kettle of fish. Those people tell the government, don't come this way. Right? We managing it. We more foreign. We more American. Right? We can bring the help here. Government, y'all retarding and slowing down the process. Then we have gated communities. I'm afraid that with Diane's idea, the family islands, these other islands of the United Bahamas, will become gated communities. I remember one time when Leslie Miller tried to go on an island and the owner of the island say, this is my island. Even though you're a minister, you can't come on my island. And Leslie made a flip on TV. All kind of colorful words was used during that interview. How dare you say a minister can't come on this island in the Bahamas? See, I concerned about that, Ms. Diane. Okay. I hear what you're saying, but this might backfire on us.
Okay. All right. So before I begin, let me read the preamble to why I wrote this reflection. So I wrote this text because many Bahamians feel that something important is slipping away. And I would say that would go from... We see growing pressures on our islands. The weight of masterism. What do I mean by masterism? I mean by an economy that is solely based on masterism and the destruction. Take Nassau as an example. Communities changing faster than we can absorb, rising violence, and too many of our people feeling powerless to shape the future of their own country. Many live with fear, and too many of our young people are vulnerable to crime and exploitation. When a society begins to feel that it cannot protect its culture, its communities, or its children, something deeper is at stake. But I do not believe that Bahamians have lost the ability to change our society. The idea of the United Islands of the Bahamas came to me as a way to imagine a different path, one where every island reconnects with its knowledge, its land, its culture, and its responsibility for the future. When a society reaches this point, the question is not only political or economic, it is also spiritual. A people must rediscover its inner balance, its sense of responsibility, and the values that once guided community life. That is why I began imagining a different path for a country, what I call the United Islands of the Bahamas. All right, so this is the idea I will share with you now. What if every island of the Bahamas became responsible for protecting and developing its own future? Some of our least touched islands still carry the knowledge of how Bahamians once lived. The people who live there understand their land, their tradition, and what makes their communities unique. Instead of everything being decided from the center, what if each island had the freedom to decide how it wants to grow? Some islands may focus on farming, others on crafts, boat building, music, traditional knowledge, or some may go digital. Right? Each island could take inventory of what it still holds, bush medicine, weaving, carpentry, fishing tradition, forests, folk tales, and the wisdom passed down from elders. These are not small things. These are a part of who we are. Imagine each island becoming the guardian of its own cultural and natural heritage. Young people could learn directly from elders, learning the songs, the stories, the music, and the skills that shaped our ancestors. Food could be grown locally again instead of imported whenever possible. Open markets could allow fresh produce, fruit, poultry, and fish to move between islands. Every island could develop its own agricultural specialties and traditions. Our culture could become visible everywhere through festivals where each island showcases its uniqueness. On radio and television, we could speak about the musicians, storytellers, and artists who built our cultural history so that their names remain alive. Education could also become stronger. Instead of sending our children away whenever possible, we could invest more deeply in building excellent schools and training institutions here at home. Even our approach to health could expand, recognizing the knowledge of bush medicine alongside modern medical care wherever appropriate. Migration is also something that should be thoughtfully managed. Each island understands its own capacity and needs. And when people come to live among us, they should also have the opportunity to share their culture, because the Bahamas has always been made richer by cultural exchange. In the end, I imagine our country like a cake. Each island is an ingredient, each one different, each one essential. Together, they create something strong, balanced, and beautiful. And this is what I call the United Islands of the Bahamas.
I hear you. I still have a problem with it. But let me highlight the concerns.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm a lay historian.
Mm-hmm.
People who know me know I research. I tend to like to tell stories. Mm-hmm. I tell stories. I'm mm-hmm. a storyteller, a griot. As a tour guide, as a concierge, as a butler, I had to sell the islands of the Bahamas to high-end clients who usually stay into the resort. They don't go anyplace. They go to high-end dinners, high-end excursion, right? They don't necessarily mix with natives, right? There's no need. right? One of those times, I was explaining that we have all white islands. They got concerned. And why they got concerned? Because they thought I was being racial, right? The Republican-type people. So they got defensive, right? Trying to make sure that they don't say the wrong things. So they said, what you mean we have, the Bahamas have all white islands? I said, yeah, man, our colonial past, right? You could go to Spanish Wells, and those people are white Bahamians. It's a closed society, right? Now, they don't have no black people living there. Now they have Russell Island. They put all the black people in that island, and they bring back and forth. Things change, right? I say, if you go to Abaco, there's Guana Key and a couple other keys in the Abacos that are all white. And I'm not sure if it's history or by chance or coincidence. No black people live there. Just happens to be all white. It'd be a tough time you moving and living in that society just because it's a closed society. I'm not judging them. I'm just saying that's what it is, right? And I'm listening to your United Islands of the Bahamas concept, right? And you're saying that they want these islands to be independent of the central government. And I'm thinking places like Abaco, places like Spanish Wells, which has their own constitution or own charter, all the way back to William Sales. A few Bahamians actually know they have their own charter, which governs them and the descendants and how they share up things there. It's a good history there. That's why they thrive so well, right? I'm concerned that they will, what do you call it when you separate? I think Abaco.
Well, I'm not talking about separation.
They want to separate though.
Well.
That comes naturally.
Well, they want to separate in the Bahamas that we have today, because what we have not done was to englobe all the cultures, the Seminoles, the descendants of Europeans, the descendants of Africans are still looked down on. You have a race, a mixed race, that still considers themselves superior, only God knows where they got that one from. And I keep hearing, you know, if this was somebody with lighter skin, they would get a job. This is not sustainable, all right? And it's something that the Bahamas is still entrenched in segregation. Life at Key, you don't have to go to Abaco. It is white. Sandy Port, come on down, okay? So let's be...
But it sounds like that what you're promoting.
No.
Not what you're promoting?
No. Again, we're talking about cultural diversity. We're talking about ethnic diversity. The Bahamas cannot continue to... It's wrong for one group of people. If it was wrong for the whites to act as though we didn't exist, it's just as wrong for us to act as though they don't exist. What's the difference?
I can bait you now.
Okay.
I can bait you. Why don't you stop? Because I can bait you now. Because I hear what you're saying.
Let's go.
I hear what you're saying. Once upon a time, before I become all conscious, mm-hmm. I used to go on Cow Pen Road to buy fruits mm-hmm. and vegetables. I don't do that no more. I go on Gladstone Road now and buy amongst that community. There is a separate community there. I call them Bahamians. They're a different type of Bahamians now. See, I'm not gonna suggest that they're not Bahamians. That's why I reiterate.
It is still a different culture, whether you call them Bahamians or not. They are maintaining a separate identity.
I come in there because I am, from what you were explaining to me, that is what you're promoting.
No.
Let me bait you first.
Oh, go on.
These are Bahamians, a different type of Bahamians.
Are they really?
Yeah, man, they're passport.
We're not talking about passport. Okay, this is the problem.
You just call Seminoles.
Seminoles, are they going around acting as though they don't belong to this land?
That's now we're getting back to where I believe there's no need for a united islands of the Bahamas. We need to be homogeneous, one concept.
It is not going to, you cannot take a tiger and a cat and say they're all failing. It's not going to work. Okay, let me take France as an example, because that's where I grew up. Every single part of France is a kingdom. It is autonomous, and it belongs to a whole. They adhered under the Franks and became France. But if you go to Normandy, you will find they are different from the people in Burgundy, from the people in Bretagne, from the people wherever you go in France, you will find a different people with a different story. And yet they will all tell you they are French. What is the common denominator? They share the same way of eating together. They share the same heroes that they value. Okay, so what they adhere to, even Corsica has never accepted being a part of France. If the French try to develop tourism in Corsica, they blow them up. They blow up they send prefects, they blow them up. If they build hotels, they blow them up. They said, you will not transform our country. It is beautiful. We love living in the wild nature that as it was created. They have kept alive a way of singing that goes back to the Middle Ages. All right? So these are countries that have fought. Bretagne has fought to revive its own language. They wear their own clothing. You have a neo-medieval movement in France where castles now have festivals where they dress as knights and they tell the story of King Arthur. And so all of this is happening. And all these festivals are happening. And nobody's threatened. There's something that everyone will say about France. It has culture with a capital C. They all live together. And then they had the problem of the war in Algeria, which was a very nasty war, similar to Vietnam. And the people that fought for them, they called the Blackfeet. They came into France, and they were not integrated, but they came having fought for France. They're not migrating to France for whatever reasons, okay? They came specifically because they fought, and they were not treated properly. The children of those people are the ones that blew up things when France. And do you know what they sat down and said? They didn't point fingers. They said, how did our education system fail? And I thought that's a very interesting way to look at it.
How did our education system fail
to the point where these children of these persons have become so alienated?
Sound like we're going through that here now. Let's go to this caller and then have you respond to the caller right now.
Sure.
Go ahead, caller. We're talking to Miss Diane Hamilton. She's a culturalist. She's talking about the United Islands of the Bahamas and the need to have independent islands with independent culture, which combines the greater culture to make us all whole. Different layers of a cake, she's calling. Mm. Go ahead, caller. Okay, that caller gone. Continue to call. The number is 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. And if you're calling from the Family Islands, it's 242-300-5720. And if you want to send a text, it's always 422-4796. I have a text here that I want to read. It says, when you say each island gets to decide, I just had a flashback to the I Love Disney t-shirt. It seems the Bahamas' destiny is to be forever a selling. You see a different word with it start with WH. Either we sell ourselves or the government becomes our pimp. We love money about everything else, above everything else, I guess. And we will lay for any foreign interests, even pedophiles who have it in abundance.
Okay, so I would like to respond to that. And this is, all right, let me just say something about the role of nature and culture. And these people were children. So abundant and clear evidence established that interaction with natural ecosystems can influence not only health, but well-being throughout life. The data suggested individuals who, as children, actively interact with nature are likely to have a better quality of life and tend to live longer. This interaction with nature as young children tends to make them more and more involved with people and society, more engaged with natural places, and be more active. What is happening in that comment is the comment of many Bahamians who have left nature out of the equation, who don't have that natural contact anymore. And so out of that comes the fear, the frustration, the anger, the sense of hopelessness, right? And so those were the reasons I sat down and said to myself, how can we move forward here? How can we move forward in a way that everyone can carry themselves? In the way I remember seeing, you know, they used to say Bahamians walk like kings and queens. And you still see it somewhere there. But there's so many people that are being broken by something that they feel they cannot fight because they have no right to exist, to own land, to dream, all right? And all of that is only a rhetoric. And so I would say, you know how the Bible says the flesh is weak? Is that it?
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
And the flesh is weak and the what?
It says the flesh is weak, but the heart is willing.
But the heart is willing? What does that mean?
We have good intentions, but no actions.
All right. So I thought about that and I said, the flesh is not weak. It's not the flesh that's weak.
Mm-hmm.
That's nature.
Mm.
Okay? It's the will.
Mm.
Everything depends on our will. If that will is directed in the right way, like a plant, all right? It grows and then it bears fruit. If that will is directed and it encompasses and understands its role and basically which is to be here on the world, living within nature harmoniously, then it will automatically take action. But if that will is being diverted, weakened by thoughts of, oh, the Bahamas is corrupt, oh, we're being invaded, and it's a constant dialogue, it interrupts your capacity to dream and to carry out that dream.
I want you to expand that, but let's go to this caller. Because I'm listening that you're saying some anxiety is causing, us to not develop.
That's right. Because
it's fair.
It's fair. And you cannot. You go back to every sacred teaching, it says, be still. Well, be still is stop those thoughts and find a space. And that's why music is so important. That's how our ancestors survive. They escaped into that place they call the solid rock, and that's where the music came from.
Let's go, Carly. We're talking to Miss Diane Hamilton. She's saying we have too many distractions that is stopping us from developing and getting to the next level, especially when we try to move towards this United Islands of the Bahamas. Too many distractions that the government is not dealing with, and we need to get this anxiety out of us. Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio AM. You're live. Producer gets to go to the next. Oh, go ahead there, caller.
Hello. Good blessing. Good morning, Mr. Nuri. How you doing, sir?
Doing well. Once we don't talk with property.
No. See, the thing is, you didn't want me to say what is what. They plan on giving me the property back. But anyway, I'm listening to the lady, and madam, welcome to Mr. Nuri's show. What you're talking about, I was talking about that from 1995.
Bless you.
Okay? Let me tell you something. The same way how we talked about, I grew up, I'm 74.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up when the UBP was in power.
Mm-hmm.
I saw when the PLP came to power. As a youngster, when my mother and those who were UBPs, all the majority of the black people in the Bahamas were PLPs. Even those who became FNMs and all, most of the FNMs were old PLPs. Okay? When Mr. Ingram went over with Mr. Waters Whitfield and all of them, and the dissident went over, then some black people went over. But they all came with premise and telling us about what the white people did to us. But now we've reached the time, now we're talking about Mr. Nuri, we're talking about what the foreigners doing, and the foreigners are invading our place. When I was growing up, we used to call the family islands, we used to call them the out islands. Then the PLP switched the name to the family islands. And look what happened. It's not only the Jamaicans and the Haitians invading us, you know. I was born in Chippenham, May 4th, 1951. Chippenham in New Providence. But what a lot of the politicians did, who came from the out islands, they moved into New Providence. And they build their lavish homes in Winton, in Cable Beach, and so forth. And they brought their special friends down here to give them contracts as contractors, building schools and government buildings and everything. What disturbs me is our own Bahamians is invading my island, New Providence, where I was born. They're leaving Cat Island and Eleuthera and all the islands to come to New Providence for a better way of life. When they receive the better way of life, none of them go back home to their island to build Cat Island. Even the leaders, they only go down there to, homecoming and regatta. Majority of the time, that's the only time they go back home to their island. They don't go back home and build Cat Island and build Eleuthera and build Andrus and everything. No, they bring the fellas from South Andrus to Nassau, give him a contract. By the time you know he's living up in Vinton, his children go into the College of the Bahamas, and the children only go back to Andrus when they hear mommy and daddy going to regatta or homecoming. They're invading my island.
I was going to say, let you respond to that.
Yeah,
apparently there's a number of islands where if the central government don't do things for it.
Listen, if he is 74, he is old enough to remember when the islands were alive, whichever island it was, okay? And the UBP weren't doing anything, and people did for themselves, right? And so this is, again, what I'm saying. You hear the anger and the frustration. And so out of that anger, if you are facing a situation where you feel invaded, be it by your own people. I mean, Haitians are fleeing Haiti. They're not fleeing white people. Who are they fleeing? Mm. Okay? So if you don't allow yourself, the part of you that is creative, the part of you that is ancestral, the part of you that survived slavery, the middle passage, the chains, the degradation, and you stood tall and told your side, okay? What's going to happen is you will be caught up in rhetoric, and that is this, you know, the constant reinforcement of negativity that is impacting your life. And that negativity is nature reflecting in when you walk through the towns, you see it, right? And something shocked me. I went to Sandyport, and I saw two white ladies sitting in a rocking chairs, and they were having a talk, and it threw my mind back to a time when we used to sit on the porch in the evenings and chill. You have to chill. You have to calm it down. You're not going to be creative. You're not going to feel like you have the will to change anything. That will that was that grew into and became independence, it wasn't followed through in a way that you became guardians of that decision, right? So when government high school was closed, that was a red flag that we weren't going up, we were going down. When all the music over the hills were closed down, those are vibrant communities. Those are heavy red flags, okay? When the influx of migrants came in, that's weaponized, a form of weaponized oppression, believe it or not, and that's how you feel when the numbers become so much that you don't know where you are and who you are and so on. And what I'm saying is that all of that is true, but you can change that. And that's what I don't hear, and that's why I'm here, is to tell you if you would stop and sit and chill, you will hear another song, the ones that were able to allow your ancestors to sing, "Better Days Are Coming." You've got to find that again so you won't drown in despair.
When we come back, we'll continue the conversation with Mr. Ann Hamilton. I'm going to ask, is there space for Bahamian culture? You see how daring I am? And the reason why I ask, is there space for Bahamian culture? Because we don't own tourism. We don't own tourism. The people that own tourism tends to pepper their product with Bahamian stuff.
So
but that's a foreign concept.
We'll come to that.
Yes.
I wasn't going to talk, but let's...
Yes. We're going to take this quick commercial break. We talked to Mr. Ann Hamilton. We're talking about United Islands of the Bahamas. I'm asking if there's space for Bahamian culture, especially on these islands. I'm going to even talk about Andras. Andras, there are people in New Providence who want to develop Andras. But Andros just said, Mandy, like a primitive, just like how it is. Then they complain that we don't have a hospital though. But the investors say, I'll put a hospital there. They say, we don't have a fire engine though. And the investors say, I'll put a fire engine there. You say, what else do you want? You want a cliff? We'll do all of that. But we just don't want your investment. But we'd rather stay primitive and complain. See, it's peculiar. Garden Radio AM, we'll be right back after this brief message.
Just sign in and have a seat, please. They'll call you in for your x-ray shortly.
That's why they call it a waiting room. You won't have that problem at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Grosvenor. We never schedule multiple appointments, so you'll be in and out in no time. And if your initial screening reveals a concern, our radiologist can conduct an alternative screening right then and there. Call 328-8157 to schedule an appointment at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Grosvenor today.
You try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers, for window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.
Freddie Munnings Jr. would say that back in the day when the Bahamas was, and it's my word now, it's not Freddie Munnings' word, right? Subjugated by a particular group of people. The black population were industrial. They opened up clubs and bars and industry, right? Because they were separate and apart and they create an industry for themselves. But when we got embraced to say, man, there's no such thing as separate but equal, but we are just one homogeneous type concept. All of those black-owned businesses just died away.
All right, let me give you another perspective on that. I know this because I live long enough in France. The French colonizers do not behave or did not behave like the British colonizers, okay? When the British colonizers colonize, they just build their wall and then, you know, like, do what you want. Just don't bother, see? Stay on your side. The French said, you are going to conform. So they built the wall, but then they dug holes in the wall so that they could keep an eye on you and make sure that you didn't go too far into anything, right? And so that is, if we had been colonized by the French, we'd be more like Haiti. That's the problem with Haiti. That's exactly, that's French colonization, okay? British colonization.
Things would have been different.
Yes.
Because I mean, we see that in French Africa versus British Africa.
Exactly. The British didn't want, they just wanted to be there. Just, you know, go play, go do what you have to do. You know, not only that, they did not free slaves at the time. They were freeing slaves without giving them a trade so that they could be autonomous, right? So all was not bad. Because when I grew up, people were masons and carpenters. And Jackson Burnside told me if someone wanted to build a house today, they can't afford it. But back then, you'd call Peter and Paul and John and whoever, and you, together you would build. Those are people that are still connected to nature, the land, and so strong, vibrant culture and collective action. And you cannot invent it. All right. If you leave the path, then you're going to have all the consequences that come with leaving the path. And you can kick and scream and do what you like. Nothing will change except that you will eventually die from stress and frustration and get sick. Right? That's not why you're on earth. Right? You're on earth to figure this out. Where have we gone wrong? Every person you see laying on the street is telling you, check out what's wrong in our society, that the streets are full of garbage, that people seem to be lining the streets. They don't seem to be human anymore. Something's wrong. Let's figure this thing out. Right? Mm-hmm. You've got to find out. You've got to go to the root of it. Now, one of the roots is when any country allows its economy to be solely based on mass tourism. This is not me. I studied this in university, never knowing I would. So you take every country where that is the case, and you will find the exact same results. Countries that lose their tradition, drugs, prostitution, you name it, okay? Why? Because it is not natural. That's not why God created the earth, for us to sell it and exploit it in a way that does not adhere to the rules of nature, right?
We have a caller here who wants to engage you. Let's embrace this caller right now. Go ahead, caller. We're speaking to Ms. Diane Hamilton. We're talking about the United Islands of the Bahamas. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Mr. Neary.
Good morning.
Morning to you, madam.
Good morning, sir.
I was thinking I heard of wanted to change the name to United Islands of the Bahamas.
Yes, sir.
Why would you want to use United? Like, because the states of the United States, I think it's a big difference with, you never said United States, but I'm saying states. Islands are different from states.
Yes, sir.
An island is just a piece of land that is surrounded by water. So mm-hmm. that means every end of that island you go, you'd be able to see a bed of water.
That's right.
But with a state, you have to go. Some people drive almost 100 miles in the states before they can see water.
Yeah, well.
So, but I think mm-hmm. the name Bahama Islands, I think that's the better for us.
Well, we're not talking about the same thing, sir. You took the United States as an example, but the United Kingdom is kingdoms, not states. We are islands.
Yes.
Okay? And so we can only speak of United Islands. We can't call ourselves United Kingdoms, and we can't call ourselves United States.
Well, why don't we stick with what we knew all of our lives, islands of the Bahamas?
Well, if that is working for you in your psyche where you feel connected to every island.
Yes.
Okay, well, that's not what is the growing feeling in this country. Is that the Abaco, Mr. Nuri just said, Abaco lives its own life and has its own way of thinking.
That was from In Memorial, the island. The islands were all different. Do you go certain parts of Eleuthera, and they speak in different, they have different languages.
And that's fine. That is fine.
You go to Abaco, they have different things. You go into Auckland, all of the islands are different, but they all still one.
But they're not being validated. I cannot tell you how they live down there, and we should know that, right?
We should know how they live in Auckland.
We should know how they live on every island. That is our country.
But do you travel around and see how they live?
Not enough. But even if I don't live, if I lived in New York, I could know about Miami. I could know about Philadelphia. I could know New Orleans.
In New York, you know how the people in Miami live.
I could know that in New Orleans they have this culture of Mardi Gras. I could know there are things that are obvious if I'm in the United Kingdom.
How long were you back here in the Bahamas?
About over since 2013.
Oh, you just reached. Mm-hmm. I can tell you almost every island when their regatta will be. I can almost tell you, and I'm visually blind.
Okay.
And I can tell you when every I might be off by one or two, but when every homecoming is coming. I can tell you in Eleuthera when the Pineapple Festival will be. I can tell you in Inagua when the donkey. I maybe where I used to travel around to the family islands a lot when I had my sight.
Mm-hmm.
But I can almost tell you, just about almost every Bahamian can tell you when regarding any loot.
And my question to you, sir, is do those islands thrive once those festivals are over?
They, I short and make enough money to kill them until the next one comes.
But that's not...
I guarantee you that.
But that's not how a country lives.
Thank you very much, Carla. Right? I appreciate
you. That's not living in a country.
I know Andrew's hurting.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I've seen them hurting. I'm seeing the reports of too many of them, are living on for the help of the state.
Mm-hmm.
Andrus needs investment. Whoever it is, foreign or Bahamian, they need
I don't think they need investment. I think they need spiritual guidance. And that spiritual guidance is what our ancestors had. Mm. That's how they survived. And so we can do that. We have to start from within to change without. And we keep focusing on without, and there's only, it will never bring the peace that I knew growing up here, and the type of communities that made people feel safe, right? It's not going to do it. You cannot whitewash a house and change what's going on inside.
Let's go to these callers. A number of people want to talk to you now.
All right.
Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio AM, you live.
Yeah, good morning, Mr. Nguyen. Good morning to your wonderful guest.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, you know, I would not have a problem with saying the United Bahamas. Maybe, you know, like word, sound, power, you know, Rasta-wise, it's really powerful. So maybe we would act different and act that way. But as it relates to the anxiety, she was talking about a cosmopolitan city. But, you know, anxiety is a natural response. Animals have anxiety. A lion is kind of territorial. He has anxiety when he sees a new male or et cetera, et cetera. So it's basically innate. These are innate, and this has nothing to do with racism. And so colorism came before racism. I mean, you know, because we saw it during the eugenics movements and the post-slavery, in which they always talk about mulattoes, and they started to do this. But I want to ask the lady a question, since she had mentioned the atrocities in Africa as relates to Europeans' interventions, right, atrocities in Africa, right? But I just wanted to know, because this is something that they have obscured for decades, in which the Belgian army put to death some 300 to 400 Senegalese soldiers because they asked for equal pay. And this is during World War II. But the recent investigations said that it's about 300 to 400, but before that they were denying the numbers. I don't know if you're familiar with that story, but it's actually documented.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Just like I'll hang up and listen.
Okay.
All right. So, I mean, that would become a political discussion. And once again, I'm saying that if we are living the world off the path, then those are things that happen, right? If you go to places where people are still close to nature, you will find that they have a lifestyle. It is not normal to live under stress. It has been proven that stress will cause your body to break down. Your body needs rest. Your body needs to be at peace. Your mind and your emotions need to be stable, which means that as you live and you face life, you have to face life with tranquility. And this is what you're not doing because you don't know how to do it anymore. And so everybody is screaming, okay, in their cars and about the crimes and this, and there's this constant outcry and anxiety. There's this constant fear that if I don't get home before sunfall, something will happen to me. That is not natural.
Okay, let's go to the next call here. Go ahead, Carla. We're talking to Diane Hamilton. Can you hear me, Carla?
Hey, I'm on the tail end of what you guys are talking about. I don't even really know the topic, but I heard one or two comments that the lady and you, the host, made, and people who called in what they said. But I'll say this, right? This is my two cents. The mindset of people have changed. When I was growing up in the 80s and 90s, if I had enough lunch, I shared my lunch with my schoolmates, or if I were on a sad day with my buddy or whatever else, right? And the community and friends generally cared about each other, and the church generally cared about each other, and family generally cared about each other. The mindset as of 2026 is completely different. People are more selfish. It's more about obtaining money. I have to do for me. I have to look out for me, look out for my family. We don't support each other. And if you talk to the masses, most Bahamians don't even support Bahamian businesses. We'll go support this one and support that one, and we'll go watch this show and do the next. We don't support our own. I don't know where we have that, where we get that mindset or adopt that culture from.
Well, it comes.
So
from,
I just leave that with you. I'll hang up and listen to what
okay,
you have to
sir.
Say.
Okay, sir. Well, once again, you are describing what is not sitting right. Everybody feels this is wrong. It's not the way it used to be. You remember the sharing, the caring. It's because maybe as a child, your grandparents, your parents, like my grandparents and parents, they had contact with the land, all right? So everything goes back to what we spoke about last week when I was, or whenever, was that agriculture and culture go hand in hand. And the more you move away from natural living, the harder it is to sustain or even have the things you describe. It cannot happen in a space where there is no contact with nature, where trees and plants and animals and insects are considered threats or useless. That is simply because you're not living from the space that you were created to live from. And that's why there are so many warnings about stepping off that path, okay? And even though our ancestors went through horrors, they stayed on that path. It was sanity there. There was hope there. There was joy there. And there was creativity, song.
Okay, right? Let's go to the next call. This text says, Miss, you are correct with everything you said. But let's go to the text. Go ahead, caller. Caller, you live.
Yeah, good afternoon. How are you doing?
Doing well.
Oh, good morning, sorry. Good morning to you guys.
Good morning, sir.
I came in late on the conversation as well, but I have three quick points, Nuri. Let me ask you, Miss Hamilton is the name?
Yes, sir.
Okay. If not tourism, what?
Okay. All right. That is a very good question. What were we doing before tourism? Were we dead? Were we thriving? Did we have culture?
Of course, we always had culture.
But were we happy? Did we know our neighbors? Were we healthier?
Of course.
Then,
of course.
Okay.
We
so,
were village.
Exactly. And so what that form of industry does is it breaks down those things that you are speaking about, right? And that's the problem. Is the more we develop it, the more we find the problems that we are facing, the homeless.
Let me
yes, sir.
I know that the time is limited.
Yes,
so
sir.
Let me just
please
add.
Do.
I believe that tourism isn't going anywhere anytime soon.
You're quite,
right? Mm-hmm. Tourism is also one of the biggest GDP drivers globally, right?
In which country, sir? In which country?
Around the world.
No,
around
give
world.
Me tourism, give me countries.
Tourism,
it's not the case
tourism
in Sweden.
Is number three. Hold on.
Go
a moment.
On, sir.
Tourism is the third largest driver of economic activity globally. Behind fuels and chemicals,
okay.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
The third largest.
All right.
It's the third largest driver of employment globally.
Okay.
I believe what the problem is, though, locally,
mm-hmm.
in the Bahamas,
mm-hmm.
in the Bahamas, and culture, just to add, culture is synonymous with tourism. Because in the earlier days, when we really saw the leaps and bounds and growth in tourism, it was directly connected to culture, to who we were as a people.
And who?
We've moved mm-hmm. away from that. And we've commercialized tourism, and we're losing our edge as a result.
Okay.
But let me just end with this because I know that the time.
I just
want to
answer
right?
you so badly. Go on.
I believe that tourism, the way we've been practicing tourism
mm-hmm.
outside of the 60s and 70s
mm-hmm.
and 80s
mm-hmm.
is what is bleeding us today. We used to be head and heels far above the rest of the region. That is no longer the case.
Mm-hmm.
If we practice tourism the right way,
and what would be the right,
right
way?
Minds,
what would
if
be
we
the,
have
right
the right
way?
Minds, if we have the right minds mm-hmm. at the table, where we ensure that as tourism grows, the locals in the economy who push tourism, who carry the weight of tourism, who are responsible for tourism thriving and for people wanting to come back to the Bahamas are at the table and are benefiting just as much as the foreign investors in tourism, we will see the benefits the real benefits of tourism. We will see a redirecting of wealth development and earnings in our country here in the Bahamas in tourism.
Okay.
As well as the government would reap the benefits of that.
Okay.
As well as agriculture can rise through that, as well as culture can rise through that, refocusing the way we conduct tourism affairs in our country. We have lost that from the 60s, 70s, and 80s. We've commercialized it, and we've given pretty much 99% of the wealth being developed to foreign direct investors rather than ensuring that the formula is put in place for Bahamians to benefit. There's nothing wrong with tourism. Thank you for the opportunity.
Okay, sir. And you're absolutely right. There is nothing wrong with tourism. There's nothing wrong with money. There's nothing wrong with anything. It's how you use it and how it affects you. If it is affecting your health, if it is causing your children to grow uneducated, if it is bringing in dirt and filth and prostitution and everything, then we need to look at how and what it affects. We are not talking about tourism. We're talking about when a country's economy is solely based on that product. That's the problem. Tourism is wild worldwide, but you'll find that in countries like Greece and Europe, they are now spraying the tourists with water because they're realizing the destructiveness that comes with it. All right. And now, you know, so to answer your question, when you speak of the 80s, you're speaking of a time when Bahamians were still communities. And that's what people came to, or that's what people either came to see or feel a part of. That's what we call tourism.
Kermit,
right?
I beg you, give this person 30 seconds, please. They will be holding for a while. I'm giving this person 30 seconds.
Go ahead. Let me
go ahead, caller. You have 30 seconds and let Miss Diane wrap up after that. Go ahead, caller. 30 seconds. Call you there? No? Then go to you, Ms. Diane.
Okay, so if you live as you're supposed to live, close to the land, close to nature, and understand that by taking care of nature, you take care of your culture and you have better health, you live longer. Your children are healthy. If you, that is sustainable, and people will want to come. But it doesn't shake your land and change your life because they come. If you notice the form of tourism that's coming, is that people that come buy land and then they build big homes and then they sell those homes for millions that they paid a couple of dollars for. That's what's happening and that's what happens. So you need to understand that the objective is not to sell. We didn't create this land. God did. And it was not created for sale. It was created to be enjoyed and that's, shared.
That's Ms. Diane Hampton. Read his last text. And Ms. Denuri, your guest is awesome. Does she mind sharing her contact, email, or phone number?
Let's see.
African people who live in harmony with nature and paid homage nature, yet they're called anomalous? Anyway.
Well, you know, so they also call, you know, bush medicine.
Opium.
Exactly.
You know
so it's so, you know, like, but we're talking about nature.
Yes.
Yeah. So you can't pay attention to what a non-connected person will say. You, if you're intelligent, then you understand stupidity.
Yes. The United Islands of the Bahamas. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
That's the future talk for the future.
Yeah.
Changing the name, changing the concept, the idea of how we see ourselves. This has been Guardian Radio AM. I was speaking to Miss Diane Hamilton. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.